Let's have it.
Welcome, folks, to episode 4. Can you believe it, Antoine? Episode 4. And that doesn't even count the time that we did, like, you know, prepping for the whole thing, too. I think we had, like, episodes 5, 6, 7 before we even started doing the podcast, right? So
I know, right?
That's okay with me, too. So yes. Today's topic is one you picked, right? And what is that topic?
Well, I just want to talk about foods. You know, just, of course, like last week, you know, we talked about music and entertainment and things like that. And, of course, like food. You know, when we talk about ethnic food, cultural food, and how some foods are cross-cultural, and how food, you know, is one of those many things that can bring people together.
I would agree with that. In fact, I kept thinking about a song. This takes you way back. When I was in ninth grade, I was in a musical called Rock and Roll. And at the time, Happy Days was a big deal, right? So then this thing was just pretty much a ripoff of Happy Days, because there was, you know, my character, Corn Doggy, was basically, you know, Richie Cunningham. And then there was Manfred, who was basically the Fonz. You know, it was really, you know, pretty silly. But we had a song at one point. It was in the cafeteria, and it went, food, 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 give me food, 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 give me food, 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 give me food, food, food. And that would keep going, right? And then somebody would come and, French fries, French fries. And we kept going. You know, it was the great American meal, right? Hamburger, French fries, and whatnot. So when we said food, that was, for some reason, that was the first stupid thing that came to my mind, was that goofy song. But it, you know, the American French fry hamburger deal, right? That's, heck, our hamburger is named after a town in Germany, for goodness sakes, you know? So.
But it's funny, you know, when you you say hamburger and French fries right away, what do you think? American cuisine, American food. And it's just amazing how a lot of these foods have origins in other places, like you just mentioned, like hamburgers from Hamburg.
Right. When you look at all the different stuff that, I mean, American food has gotten transported to all these different cultures, right? One of the first things that happened with Russian sanctions was all the McDonald's closed down, you know, and there are McDonald's in China. You know, I remember being in China years and years ago, and they were making a big deal out of the first McDonald's opening in Beijing. You know, it's like, wow, that's our contribution to, you know, multiculturalism is McDonald's. But I mean, you touched on it too. Isn't it cool in America that you can go to, you know, even in Sauk Prairie here, we'll have these, you know, things for fundraisers or whatnot, and have a, you know, a kind of a food court kind of thing where food trucks come in, and there's, you know, barbecue, and there's Mexican food, and there's usually somebody's got egg rolls or something, you know, and you look at that and think, you know, that's a real blessing in so many ways to have all of these different options available to us, right?
Yes. And it's amazing how, like, you know, what I look at food as, like, so, you know, like, of course, one of the things that we do in ministry, we do a lot of food events. And what those food events do is allow us to usher people into other resources that we can't provide. You know, of course, like when you think about resources in Sauk or Brown County, wherever you are, a majority of people know where they are, right? They know how to go to get rehabilitative services. They know where to get adult education. They know where housing is. They know where all these different things is. But people are afraid of institution. And so where food comes in, food kind of lowers the guard a little bit. You know, a good hot meal served with love and compassion and with dignity. You know, a good hot meal will lower a person's guard. And then the questions come. Hey, can you come with me to this place, or can you make a call for me? And that's kind of like, when I think about food, that's what I think about. You know, it's just the melting of the heart. You know, a good hot meal served with love and dignity. You know, it ain't just thrown at somebody, but it's served with love, and it just lowers the guard. You know, I see that every year, a few times a year, and it's just like, wow, you know, and it's just amazing that a hot meal will. You know, it's like with those meals, you know, it's like sometimes like when the delivery volunteer person comes to a person's door, that's the first interaction they may have had with someone in weeks.
Yeah.
When you're talking like us, a senior or someone with a physical disability, when that person comes deliver that hot meal, that's the first interaction they may have had with someone in a long time. So I just think food ministry, you know, it bridges the gap in a sense. But food as a whole, a lot of people can come together over a meal, but not for other things yet. And so that's why it's like, you're just going to grab the world by the neck and choke it sometimes. But
yeah, don't you wonder, like, could we accomplish more by, with race relations if we had a barbecue chicken, picnic, extravaganza, or did something where, it is hard to, I think, so there is something about that breaking bread together process, mm-hmm. that, it brings us down to a level where, everybody's got to eat. And, there we talk about, God, he's just such a slob when he eats, or, he's so, particular about how, look at the British, they're very particular about their forks and their knives and where you place things on the table, and they would never, scoop things up into their mouth. It's, tiny portions. And you've got the Chinese who are using sticks, for goodness sakes, and I look at that and think, I've tried chopsticks because in, traveling to China, you try to learn how to eat that way. And it's like, no, I got to shove this food in fast. Faster than these chopsticks will ever allow for. And then somebody showed me you can actually scoop up some rice and then use that to pile other stuff onto it. I'm like, okay, well, I can tolerate that at least. But no, it is such a weird thing to think about. Why can't we apply that principle of sitting down and having a meal together with sitting down and making a meal together of, what our world could look like, or I don't know.
Did you see what you were just explaining, how when it was explained to you how you could get more on the chopstick by doing something else, right? Yeah. And it's amazing how again, it's like when we're talking about foods and because when you think food, right, you got your ethnicities, and of course you got I hate saying Mexican, but you got Mexican cuisine, you got Chinese cuisine, you got Middle Eastern cuisine, and then you got Italian. And those are the quote unquote ethnicities. And then everything else is more cultural, collard greens, baked mac and cheese, and so on and so forth. And so it's like you basically went into a place where it's like, okay, when you try someone else's cook, when someone else wants to cook for you, they're saying, hey, I want you to know me. I want you to see me. And of course, in 99% of the instances, the heart is being put into that food, mm-hmm. And they're saying, hey, see me, know me, and taste and see how good I am or how good we are. And it's like, try me. And it's like, we could try the food, but it's like, let's try the person too.
Right. Right. Well, look at the number of accomplished chefs that create something, right? They have enough knowledge of spices and what foods go together, and then they create something new and not quite the same as how anyone else does it. I mean, I don't know about you, but barbecue and me are one of those things where I have tried so much different barbecue. And there are certain things I really like in it. And I try, when I've done my own barbecue sauce, I try to kind of, I'll put some onion powder in, or I'll put, I'll make sure that I, grill up some, real fresh onions too, or whatever. And you kind of add things to your taste. And it's kind of cool when you do that and you find that other people appreciate your taste. Right.
That
when I can do a barbecue sauce and my kids will say, that's really good, Dad. I'm like, yeah, I could tell that was going to be good. And so I tried that and I tried this and it was really, and you think it is an expression of you, right? Cause you're like, mm-hmm. you're thinking to yourself, this is something I like. I hope other people will like it too. So you were telling me a while ago about your collard greens. You mentioned that, and I was like, I don't get how anyone can eat collard greens. And then you started telling me your recipe about it, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, I didn't even catch on. This is where people will question your blackness. You don't like collard greens? Like, I didn't start liking collard greens till maybe 2002, 2003. But what I found out, or what came to my knowledge, was most times when people are cooking greens, period, they mix them. They mix the mustards and the turnips with the collards. And then it's like, you know, some are mushy, some are. And it's just like, I didn't like that. So when I had actually, I was in Boston, I was managing a soul food restaurant. And the woman, I like, she was throwing all this stuff in the pot of water. I'm like, what do you got going there? And she was like, oh, cause I've seen collard greens made, right? But she was like, I'm making these collard greens. I'm like, really? It's like, cause she threw everything in the pot except the greens. I mean, versus using pork, she was using smoked turkey. And she was like, yeah, you want to flavor the water first. And just like with red beans, black eyed peas, navy beans, things, she was like, you want to flavor the water first before you put the greens or the beans in. That way you don't have to boil them to death. And of course, when I actually had it that way, it was like, wow, it changed my whole. And it's like now it's collard greens is a regular thing for us, you know, and it's like it's not only is it a great health option, but it's just when you make it right, it's very flavorful. You know,
we found that with bratwurst. Of course, I'm from Milwaukee. My wife is from Sheboygan. And, you know, if there's one thing we know, it's a quality bratwurst. You know, I'm sorry. You get that going first, right? You know, so, but with bratwurst, the deal there is, you know, not only do you have to grill it right, because, you know, you got yahoos that think like, you know, they wave it over the grill and they think that's cooked, you know, so it's like, no. Unless it's, you know, splitting a little bit, no. And then, people know about pre-boiling, you know, so that you get a lot of the junk out and you can really grill it and toast it nicely. But the pièce de résistance, as we would say in French, is when you get done, you have to put it in beer and onions and let it kind of simmer in the beer and onions. And once you have a bratwurst that way, you think, oh my gosh, I've been eating junk until I had these. And it sounds like you had the same thing happen with collard greens. It's like, I've been eating junk, and now here is what it's supposed to taste like, right?
And it sounds like I've been having the same thing with brats, because it means like when you're at an outing, it's like, okay, particularly in most places in Wisconsin, it's going to be brats and hot dogs and burgers. And so it's like, okay, I'll eat a brat. And it's like,
Yeah.
And so because it's like I never could feel it or get into it. And it's like, but, you know, the way you just described it, you know, because I think my wife and we cook onions and everything. So sure, when you said onions, sure. It was like, all right, there it is.
Well, you don't want to use, you know, I would tell my favorite of all the beers I've used is Leinenkugel's. Something about the Leinenkugel that just really does well. And Leinenkugel Red in particular seems to be the best overall beer. But, you know, then there's people like char broil them to the point where they're like, you know, crispy critters kind of thing. And I'm like, man,
that's what I've experienced. Yeah.
How can you enjoy that? You know, and then, but, I mean, and everything's like that. You know, everybody has their signature deal, right? How do you make that jump from signature cooking and signature taste to a collective taste? You know, cause I mean, think of the number of things that McDonald's, you know, the system of a McDonald's cheeseburger. I mean, the guys that came up with that initially, the McDonald's, you know, brothers they had a system for doing it that was very precise, and they had, you know, not only to build efficiency into it, but they knew exactly, you know, how much ketchup, how much, you know, mustard, how many pickles. That was all figured out. And it strikes me that those are some of the best recipes too, when you have kind of a precise thing figured out, but then at the end of the day, you still have to have a feel, you know, there still has to be I think we just need a little more oregano or whatever. And I suspect that's kind of what's missing in race relations too, is that we don't understand that there has to be that art to it, as well as just the, you know, well, we need to have this curriculum and we need to make sure that we do this and it's inclusive with that. And I mean, that's all fine and good, but there's got to be some art to it somehow as well. I don't know.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Because you hit the nail on the head a little bit ago when you said, like, when you try making your barbecue sauce, right? You say, oh, it's a trial and error getting that recipe right. It takes a little bit of this. It takes a little bit of that. Sometimes it's going to turn out right. Sometimes it's going to turn out wrong. And it's like, but it's like you keep doing it. The thing is, you're willing to keep trying it, and you're willing to keep. Okay, you know what? I'm going to take the onion powder out this time and put minced onion. I don't know, just whatever. You do something different each time until you get it. But the thing is, you know, it's like when we're talking, when we correlate that with, you know, race, we have to keep trying. we have to keep mixing things together. We have to keep trying stuff together. And but the hardest part is like if it failed the first time, people's like, oh, well, I don't like that. So that's just the way it is. And but it's like we have to keep trying to put love into that dish or into that recipe in order for it to make. And then like when that, like you say, when you said it, like you said, how like when people can really appreciate your taste, you know, and of course, just think about everything that went into your taste. I mean, it's like, now taste this. And this is all, this is what had to go into it. And that's, I think when humanity is the dish and we are all ingredients and it's like, taste me, try me.
Yeah.
And it's like all these ingredients trying to come in together. And it's going to, and thing is, you know, like with you can have the right seasonings, right? But it takes sometimes it takes a dish longer to cook. Like when I was using like the issue, like the thing with the collard greens, the woman said she'll boil that water for over an hour. She got the smoked turkey in there, onions, peppers, this, that, and the other, chicken base, chicken cubes. She got, and it's like, and but the thing is, it's the time. Yeah, we can have the right ingredients, but it takes the time and patience to get that dish right. And they're like, you mentioned also those trained chefs that they can experiment and try different things. When we get to that point where we can experiment and try different things and not be afraid of failure, we can accept failure and say, hey, you know what? Okay, that thing, it didn't go. Okay, but I tell you what, that didn't work. But I tell you what, we got a basis for the things, right? We got an ingredients list. Now let's see if we can mix them some other way. Let's see if the cooking time is off. Let's see if we need a little more of this and a little less of that. Let's play with it, you know, and.
Well, you know,
and that's what
you said it too, you know, don't be afraid to try. I keep thinking about a professor I had back in undergraduate school. It was an acting professor of mine. He was also a really talented technical artist with, you know, scenography. And I mean, the guy could do everything. And it was really interesting because I remember going out to eat with him once to, I think it was Ovens of Brittany in Madison back when they had this incredible little place on State Street. And we're eating pizza. Well, maybe it wasn't there. It must have been at a pizza place because we got a big pizza. And one of the people that we were sitting with and having this pizza took the mustard from the table and put mustard on the pizza. And he's looking at, we're all kind of looking at mustard on it. What are you doing, woman? I mean, I don't get it. And he's looking at it and he said, you know what? And he put some mustard on his pizza and he looked at me and said, never be afraid to try something that somebody else likes. And he took a bite of it and was like, huh, that's really interesting. I like that. And he's like, I don't think I'd eat it that way all the time, but it's a really good way to do something different with it. And yes. You know, that to me is kind of what we're talking about too, right? You know, don't be afraid. Yeah. You might look at something and go, man, I would never do it that way. What are you thinking even trying that? Well, that's just telling you more about your own bias than it is about that person's choice, right?
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, how critical are you of their choice? Mustard on pizza. What's wrong with you? Where
how dare you? Yeah. We will now banish you to kingdom of mustard lovers. So go away. So, yeah.
You know, a lot of people say I'm crazy because, man, I don't like condiments, man. Barbecue sauce, ketchup, mustard, mayo, none of it. I don't eat any of it, man. Yeah, tartar sauce. I don't eat any of it. And it's like, of course, it goes back to being raised in Florida. You know, it's like when we used to see the tomatoes for the ketchup. Anyway, long story. I ain't going to go into all that. But and then, of course, and it's funny, I don't eat cheese anymore. When I moved to Madison, my sophomore year of high school in 89, we ended up, you know, I was a part of some after school group, and we ended up going to a cheese place. And it was just this tank of milk and these guys with these suits on, and they threw a couple of bags of stuff in there. And then the guys were in there, they had these paddles waving them around. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, they scooping up these lumps and cheesecloth. But it was just like, that's it. Then of course I worked at Oscar Mayer right out of high school. And then it was just, that was a whole nother thing. And so my biases towards foods are just like, it is not fun. I don't want to try to give myself an out on this, but it's just like, yeah, if I've seen the process and I didn't like it, I just leave it at that, you know. But I know it's like, I'm getting to a point where I do want to try more. Like my wife and I, we attended an event, Masood. He's very active with the Bear Boy Ass Coalition. And those guys are Masood. I don't want to mispronounce his last name, but he invited us to an event. And he, for lunch, there was an Indian dish. And of course, no, I'm thinking to myself, like, my wife is already, she's like, you probably ain't going to like what they got going here. That's because, you know, I'm a picky eater. And but the thing is, man, it was a chicken and rice dish. So I'm like, okay, I could deal with this. And man, it's probably one of the best things I've ever had when it comes to like chicken or like rice, but it was a different, mm-hmm. whole different spin on it. Mm-hmm. And it was so good that I was like, I wanted a second helping of it. And of course, but again, that was me opening my mind a little bit. And not just being hungry, but it was just like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and try this. I'm going to go ahead and try it. And turn out it's probably one of the best things I had in a really, really long time. And that, I think that's what food can do for us. You know, it's like, when we talk about, like, you know, how we were saying in the beginning, how, you know, of course, when we talk about, you know, you got your ethnic foods, right? And then you got your cultural foods. But a lot of those things are cross-cultural. Like, say you take a good baked mac and cheese, that's universal. You know, you take mashed potatoes with a really good gravy, universal. You know, it's just black-eyed peas, different kinds of beans, they're universal. And it's like, but every culture may have their own little spin or version of it, mm-hmm. but hey, it's a base.
Well, isn't it different too? How some people, like my son, is really into hot things. I mean, I'm not sure where he got it from because I like spice, but he like the stuff that he'll eat. Sometimes I'm like, I would be sweating. My mouth would not calm down for probably a week. And yet I think about like when the kids were younger, my wife was really smart about this. She always said, don't force them to eat something. If you force a kid to eat something, they're going to fight you for it and they may never learn to like it. But if you let them decide as time goes on to, you know, just try things, it's okay. You know, but you don't coerce them. You just let them try stuff. And now I look at my son, he eats things that I still can't eat. And I think part of it was because I was forced to eat some of that stuff, like fish fry. I cannot stand a fish fry. I grew up on the south side of Milwaukee in a Catholic household. You had to eat fish fry. It was a thing, right? And especially during Lent, for goodness sakes, you know? And so I would go and like plead with my mom, please let me get a hamburger. Please let me get chicken, something. And mom finally, you know, thankfully she was older when she had me. So she'd kind of like, oh, fine, just get some chicken. So, and, but that was so smart, so wise of my wife to say, just don't force him. And I wonder sometimes if that isn't part of what happens with racist stuff is we think we have to push people into being, oh, I don't know. Can you push somebody into not being a racist? You know, does it have to be like we were talking the other week about just becoming aware? Is there something that can, you know, we can lure people in to just thinking about it? You know, you don't have to eat the collard greens quite yet, but just smell that broth. Okay.
Right.
Just give it a little taste here with a little spoonful. I don't, how would that look? You know, if we tried to apply it to multiracial, interracial, whatever interactions, maybe food is the answer. Maybe we need to have a big potluck and say, you know, come one, come all, you know, Trump lovers, Biden lovers, we don't care. Just come and enjoy our potluck. We're going to have this and this and this and this. And maybe enough would come that, you know, well, I heard you're having barbecue, so I guess I'll come for a little while. So, you know, but.
And it's going to come down to that first choice. It's like, am I willing to try something new? Am I willing to try this new dish that's on this menu here? Am I willing to try it? And like you said, you can't force a person to do it. You can't force a person to try. You can't change a person's mind. It's going to be a choice. And the thing is, I guess if you just allow the food to cook, right? And let them smell it a little bit. Then they'll come to try it. You know, they'll say, oh, you know what? There's a lot of positive coming out of that. There's a lot of things are starting to move in the country, in the city, the state, the town. Things are starting to move. You know, there's more commerce. There's more jobs. There's more of this. There's more of that. This thing is moving. Why? Because, you know, there's a good mix going on right here. And it's so that other person that's on the outside of it may say, you know what? I'm going to come on in and try this. You know, I'm going to give this a try. You know, I don't know if that ever make me try sauerkraut. I don't think.
I can't stand like, sauerkraut. Even when my wife cooks it, I can't stand it. But my son loves it. I like.
What is it?
What? You know, sauerkraut. It's cabbage. It's a cabbage that I think there's like vinegar or something in it that they use to basically spoil it. I mean, the sauerkraut, because it's got a sour taste to it, but yeah. I can't stand the smell of it. But I will say they put sauerkraut onto a Reuben sandwich, and I did. I finally had a Reuben sandwich with sauerkraut and the Thousand Island dressing. I went, yeah, that's not bad. I kind of like that. So, but you wouldn't eat that because it's got Thousand Island dressing, and you have a thing about right. condiments. So
and sauerkraut, because like I eat cabbage, but I guess the second part of the process, I guess I just don't. And see, there it is. There's something else. You know, we might like the first. We might like the base thing, but
right.
the additional part of it yeah. that we have to grow into, or learn to like, or tolerate the smell, or whatever. You know, it
right.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes isn't it what you eat it with too? You know, like they talk about cornbread, you know, and cornbread with barbecue, or cornbread with, you know, honey butter on it or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and people say, well, yeah, I like cornbread. What, have you ever tried it this way? So, and then they try it that way. Oh my God, that brings out a whole new flavor in cornbread. You know, maybe there's an analogy there too of just saying, hey, you know what? Just try this. You know, you don't think you'd like it. Well, try this and see what happens. So let's play pickleball together. Maybe that's the key, you know, pickleball and dill pickles afterwards, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. So when I first saw pickleball, we were actually, you know, what's that park that's by the pool in Baraboo?
Oh, yeah.
Campbell Park or
yeah,
something like that?
I think something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because like we, you know, in the summer months we would preach out there, and you know, and of course a group of people came out onto the tennis court, and I'm like, that ain't tennis. What is? And so when they were leaving, I had to stop them and like, hey, what were y'all doing? And the lady was like, pickleball, and I'm like, oh, it looked interesting. It's like, all right, I would try that.
Yeah, fastest growing sport in the United States. So there's a pickleball league now, you know, so they're going to start televising soon, but
it's going to be an Olympic sport soon. Yeah, if it's not already.
Yeah, easily. I'm surprised it isn't already the way that's taken off. But so favorite recipe, what's your favorite recipe? If you could have one thing to eat all the time, what would it be?
Favorite recipe. There's so many, but if you're saying just pick one.
Yeah.
My favorite that I can't eat anymore, it would be a good gumbo, a really good gumbo. Cause you know, like, you know how some people will make a gumbo where they'll use a fish base as a cheat sheet. But when you're actually making that gumbo, you're actually boiling the crab with the whole crab in there. Then you got whole shrimp, whole crawdad. That's your base right there. You're not using any, you know what I mean? And then it's like, you're boiling there. You're making your roux from. You're making everything from scratch, and so it's like I miss a really good gumbo.
Can't eat it now because it's spicy.
No, because it's like over the years, again, growing up in Florida, we caught and ate crab all day long. Of course, like after a big, we lived in this little in Lakeland, Florida. We lived in this little cul-de-sac area where there was like a little creek running along the side of it, and it's like after a good rain and the water rise, you can just grab milk crates and you'll kind of straighten out a bunch of wire hangers, right? You got your pliers, you straighten out and you just drag the crate along the bottom of the creek and you're catching a little bit of everything. And then you just have this real big dirty pot and you just throw it in there, boil it up. And it was almost a daily thing, especially like, you know, when, you know, just like you go learn how to go catch some food, you know, and it's like, but yeah, that's my recipe that I would love to have, but I miss it.
Sure.
I'd say that a good gumbo would be. What about yours?
Mine is, you know, I don't even know where it really came from. My mom made a thing called Mai Young. And I thought it must be something Chinese or something. And no one makes Mai Young. I think it was something invented by some magazine somewhere to sell Campbell's soup, because the two major things in it are Campbell's tomato soup and Campbell's cream of mushroom soup. So that's kind of your baseline. And then you brown a bunch of hamburger. And you put the hamburger in there, and then cut up some celery, and you put the celery in there, and then you let that all simmer for a good hour or so. You know, it just gets all bubbly and wonderful. And then you take that and you serve it over rice. But then mom would also say, but you should have some La Joy, you know, soy sauce, which it had to be La Joy too. And no Kikkoman's nonsense in this stuff, right? So La Joy, you know, soy sauce. And I pour that on like there's no tomorrow. I mean, until it's really got a nice black sheen to it, it doesn't have enough La Joy on it. And then you mix that all together, right? And I swear I could gobble down a plate of that in probably less than 5 minutes. And I'm talking big honking plate, like two gups of rice, maybe a little more, plus a bunch of Mai Young thrown on top of it. And it's just, I don't know, one of those things where I swear it was some sort of Campbell's soup sponsored thing that they came across. I'm sure of it, but it's easy to make. It just tastes wonderful, and make sure you have a little joy. Cause like I said, the Kikkoman's just won't cut it. It's not the same thing. So deviled ham, which is another really cool thing. That's just a sandwich.
When you say deviled, is it got something to do with vinegar or pickling?
No, I mean, some people call it deviled ham. Some folks call it, minced ham. And it's basically just, again, you got to use good bologna. Can't be nonsense. It's got to be a decent quality beef bologna, ring bologna, and then, sweet gherkins, pickles, and some mayonnaise, Heilemann's mayonnaise, and then a little bit of sugar. And you grind up the bologna, and then you grind up the pickles, and you mix all that together with some Heilemann's mayonnaise and put some sugar into taste. And it's a sandwich spread, basically. That's the one I introduced my daughter to. And my daughter's like, oh, Dad, we got to make the pickle meat. And, you know, it takes some work because we have like an old style, one of those, you know, food grinders that you clip onto your, you know, board and just grind it away. It's made of cast iron or, you know, probably something with carcinogens in it. I don't know. But it's the way to do it, right? You know, people use their Cuisinarts or whatever. No. Hey, I got to hand grind this stuff.
Get a hand, do it.
Yeah. you can't get away from the wrist action if you want to make it right. So
that's where the heart and love come in.
Well, you know, and it's neat. The thing I think about both of those that probably makes them special is my relationship to my mom. Mm-hmm. Right. And mom making those as I'm growing up. And I think all of us, I hope most people, I feel bad for people that don't have that tradition of family recipes or, you know, the comfort foods or the whatever, you know, that was part of your family. And I believe part of what is so neat about America is that the family of human beings is drawn together by all of these various and wonderful foods that, if we could just get it down to our hearts, that the same thing we all enjoy sitting down to eat together can also be the means by which we can talk with one another. We can, you know, care for one another. We can, you know, make sure that you know the difference between this sauce and that sauce, you know. Mm-hmm. And they may market it as barbecue, but that ain't barbecue, you know. And the analogies are, you know, ripe. There's a food term,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and you're right, and it's just those lessons are they're you know, grandmama is getting younger these days. You know, grandmama ain't no 70, 80 anymore. Grandmama is 30, 35. And, you know, that's just what I've seen in, you know, in some of the communities I've lived in. You know, it's like and those life lessons are lost. You know, of course, like I thank God that I grew up. I think I was able to witness a swing in this very thing, like in the 80s. You know, like I said, I'm not going to say that the projects was some beautiful place to live. But, you know, there was a sense of community and pride. You know, people would pick up stuff. There was grass. And then, of course, like 84, boy, it just turned gray and dark. And then it's like families fell apart and it just went away. And then, of course, and in some areas, some people are just they're stuck in that area. And it just that thing, that poverty mindset, that mindset is going to perpetuate until, you know, someone extends a helping hand to say, hey, you know, you can change the trajectory of your life. You know, just because you were born here don't mean you have to stay here. And I just and that's what, you know, we hope. That's what we at, you know, FaithWorks hopes to do, you know. And of course, when you partner with people, and even like this podcast, you know, is you can have a different mindset, but we're just extending a hand to say, hey, just you don't have to be that way. You know, you don't have to think that way. You don't have to live that way. You know, let's have a paradigm shift. Let's change our mindsets. Let's think something different. Do something different. If you say this, you know, how many days it takes to form a good habit? What? 21 days. If we can just say, hey, do this, say this thing for 20 days or whatever, and see if your mind don't change, you know. And I think that's where we just got to get to the willingness to try, you know. And also, I want to ask you, you know, like with the specific branding, the Hellman's mayonnaise and the LaCroix, are they paying us, man?
Oh, that we would be so lucky. So, yeah. No, you know, isn't that weird? We do become branded, you know. It's just.
Yes, I agree 100%. It's like certain things, it's just by brand, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, there's some things where, you know, nowadays too, my sister will never buy the brand name. You know, she's got a thing about, you know, I'm not going to pay all that money for the brand. I'll get Food Club, you know, and I mean, a lot of things, it doesn't bother. I mean, I think that it is the same, you know, macaroni, hard macaroni. How much different can it be? Right. But there are other things where I'm like, yeah, no, there's a reason why that brand is real popular. They just got something going on there that I really like. Or maybe I'm just habituated to the brand. And, you know, like LaJoy's, I have Kikkoman plenty of times in restaurants because it's like every Chinese restaurant in the world must be in Kikkoman's back pocket. You never see LaJoy, you know, but I'm going to start going to Chinese restaurants and bringing my own bottle of LaJoy, you know, because it's just, I don't know, got something to it. But, well, any parting words of wisdom for those of us that are looking for food now that we got everybody listening hungry, I hope. So maybe
let's just be willing to try something new.
Yeah.
Let's open our hearts and minds to something new.
And maybe,
you may have seen it, and you may have seen it presented to you a lot of different ways. You may have seen that same thing presented a lot of different ways. It's been presented to you at different stages of your life. But at some point, just have the willingness to pick it up and try it.
Wouldn't it be nice if we just picked up and tried something new with somebody we don't really know well and just said, hey, you want to check out for lunch? There's this new hot dog place in town. I hear they got every kind of hot dog you could possibly want. Want to check it out? Okay. So, you know, food can be a great way to kind of break the ice, right? So
food is an awesome way to break the ice, you know, because we can, again, it's like we can celebrate ethnicity's food or a culture's food, but we don't like them. And that's it's like, I like your food, but I don't like you. And that's where we got to get out of that. You know, it's like,
you people and your food. It's just, I like your food. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what's the universal food right now? what would you say is the most universal food?
The most?
Think everybody in this one food that's universal right now.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if I think that. I don't know if I know that there is a universal food anymore. Tell you, there's pie.
Pie. There you go. I was gonna say tacos.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, tacos.
Tacos. Yeah. Steak tacos. Oh man, Anna makes some great tacos over there at Las Milpas. There, she does a great job.
Yeah, yeah. She shows up at events I work up in Baraboo, and we just opened a Jose's down here in Sauk Prairie. So everyone's thrilled about that. Yeah. So now there's four Jose's out there, plus Jose's food trucks, and Jose is going to take over the world here pretty soon, I think.
Oh yeah, he's doing a great job. It's his spirit. Yeah. It's his spirit. Yeah. You know,
giving back to the communities. He opens restaurants.
Absolutely. And
he's always like the first one out there with Thanksgiving dinners or whatever. So,
but usually when I needed help with something, like in regards to like money for ministry or something, he'd probably be one of the first people I call and say, "Hey man, I got this person. They need a hotel room for a couple of nights. Can you help me?"
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. They'd be like, "Okay, just send them over to the restaurant for something to eat." Like, man, all right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Keep that heart open. So.
Absolutely.
All right, man. See you next time. We'll figure out what we're talking. I don't know yet. Now that I'm going to have to eat at least 4 or 5 times between then and now, but I'll think of you when I this next time I see a recipe for collard greens. Okay, let's see if anyone makes it with that broth.
Oh yeah, man. And of course, I think about this salmon croquettes. Oh man. Yeah, man. I can go on and on. But all right, man.
Take care, man. Bye.
Take care.